Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everybody, the show's about to begin, but before we get started, here are some words from our newest sponsors.
No matter what you do in the bathroom to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. They have amazing shower stuff, hair styling products, toothbrushes, and toothpaste, and of course, razors and shave supplies.
I use these products every day, George. The Amber and Lavender Body Wash is how I start my morning off. I get my body all nice and smooth, and then I switch over to the Big Cloud Good Shake Hand Cream. I love that stuff. But that's how I get ready. You're not me. You have to have your own way to get ready. You might shave your whole body to get ready for a bike race. Dollar Shave Club's Executive Razor and Shave Butter can help with that. You might do your hair to get ready for a soccer match. Boogies by Dollar Shave Club can help with that. It can get your style on point. The thing is, no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need.
And right now, you can get ready with an amazing deal on any one of their starter sets. I recommend the Daily Essentials starter set because I love Amber Lavender Body Cleanser. That's right. I love it. But you can't go wrong with any of them. Head over to the dollarshaveclub.com/junkie to pick up your own DSC starter set for just $5. After your starter set, products ship at a regular price. And make sure you check out their new video, too. That's dollarshaveclub.com/junkie, dollarshaveclub.com/junkie.
This is your captain speaking. We are making our descent into Las Vegas McCarran Airport. On behalf of our crew, we'd like to thank you for flying MMA Junkie Airlines. Now please fasten your seatbelts and put your tray tables in your upright position because the descent is going to be a little bit bumpy.
All right, Junkie Nation, it's time to roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. All night long, we rollin'! Yes!
The MMA Junkie Radio revolution is upon us.
Can you dig it?
There's no escape.
No escape.
Through the vast frontier of cyberspace. And through a sea of stars in outer space.
One small step for man.
We've solidified our combat communication stranglehold.
We are controlling transmission.
With the use of MMA Junkie Radio and Sirius XM satellite radio technology.
MMA Junkie Radio. Commence transmission.
Live. From MMA Junkie Radio HQ in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. Here are your hosts, Gorgeous George and Goz.
From the fight capital of the world inside the beautiful Mandalay Bay Racing Sportsbook, you are listening to the MMA Junkie Radio Show, the only show that matters. I'm your host, Gorgeous George. With me as always is the devious and dastardly Goz, our ace co-host. To my left, it's the fight analyst, Dan Tom. Back East producing, as always, Danny Otto, and our special co-host for the day, Orsat Zavko. He is the president and the founder of Final Fight Championship, which you'll be hearing a lot about here in Sin City. Welcome, Orsat. How you doing?
Morning. Good.
All right.
Tired a little bit.
Good to have you. Yeah, you're a hard worker, man. We've been bumping into you the last couple days, and you can see your mind's always moving. You got meetings to attend, people to talk to.
Yeah, true, and you know, still I have production company in Europe, and I need to work night shift because at the midnight it's 9 o'clock in the morning in Europe. So, still I need to manage lots of things in Europe.
You had to guess who slept the most out of the four of us last night.
Well, I usually don't sleep much, but yesterday I slept well.
Did you?
It's not me.
I went to bed at midnight. Probably fell asleep 1 a.m. Woke up at 6.
I slept more than you.
You sleep at all?
3 to 5:30, so 2.5 hours.
Okay, Orsak, can you top that?
Yeah, around between four thirty, and I woke up around 8.
Okay. And he still got here before you.
You guys are warriors. Yeah. All right. Orsat came to us through a good friend of ours, Stitch Duran, and one of the things that he also told me, aside from the different things we'll talk about, Orsat used to manage Krokop, Mirko Krokop, since 98. And so it was really, really cool to sit down with you the other day when we met you, and you kind of gave us a little bit of that history. And then, of course, you've done so many other things throughout the sport, and now here we are in Las Vegas, weeks away from combat sports, not just MMA, but combat sports taking place in the Fight Dome at the Rio Hotel.
True. That's a project what I was preparing like last 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And finally we came to that moment that we will launch our show in Las Vegas. It will be first opening show, Night of Champions. Like a very unique event, like mm-hmm. hybrid event. We'll have 2 kickboxing fights, 1 boxing and 2 MMA fights. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. It's quite different than in Europe, you know. So many regulations, so many permits, so many different rules. So, we were struggling a little bit inside the papers last few months. But
Satoshi Ishii versus Chris Burnett will be your main event in the MMA portion.
Yeah, looking forward to see that fight. It will be an interesting fight, you know. Mm-hmm. Chris is a very nice guy. I met him like a couple of years ago in Japan. He fought on Inoki Bombaye. And Satoshi, you know, he's also a cool guy. Mm-hmm. You'll be surprised. He learned Croatian. So Japanese guy, he can speak Croatian. Very funny. But, very, very cool, very nice guy, very polite. Actually, last year and a half, year and a half ago, he moved to Croatia. And on daily basis, he's training with Mirko. Mm-hmm. So, it will be, you know, he's very famous in Japan, probably the most famous Japanese fighter, one of the most famous Japanese fighters.
Yeah.
He's a judoka, Olympic gold medalist. Yeah. So it's a great honor for our organization that he's his main card.
Take me through something here. Before we even get to Krokop, what was your history of martial arts when you were a young lad?
My history? Actually, how I got into that sport, like I was 5 years old when my grandpa, he woke me in the middle of the night, and my grandma, she was pissed. She starts arguing with my grandpa why he didn't leave me to sleep. Actually, he woke me up to watch together with him match Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. And it was in Caesar's
Palace.
Yeah. And from that moment, I don't know, when I was a kid, I was always watching boxing fights with him. And later on, also when I was like 9, 10, I started to train Kyokushin Karate.
Okay.
Later on, I was training basketball. And still I'm trying to be in shape, like just a little bit boxing, just to stay in shape.
Right.
But always I loved martial arts, you know.
And soccer too? Or no soccer?
Yeah, I'm following soccer. I have lots of my good friends are top players. They're top players, and they're playing for national team. But I'm not crazy soccer fan. But, I'm following national team. I have my favorite team. But
but did you play soccer, like, in high school?
No, I play basketball.
How did you become friends with Davor Šuker?
Davor Šuker,
Who, by the way, was one of Croatia's greatest players ever. And also... mid to late 90s to early 2000s, one of the best players in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, in 1998, he was officially the best player in the world. He scored like, he was number one scorer, yeah. We know each other from high school.
Mm-hmm. And how'd you become his bodyguard?
No, it was that time, I'm a little bit older than him, you know, and in high school, when you are fourth grade, like you are the big face, you know, in the school, and he was younger. And he had some problems, so me and some of my buddies, we like kind of protect him, mm-hmm. you know, to take him away from the problem. So that's how we start to be friends. And later on, he played for Real Madrid.
Right.
He played for Sevilla with Maradona, Diego Maradona. And we stay good. And he's spending lots of time here in Vegas also. So sometimes we're hanging out with his here, you know, and we are going out. Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's very famous. He's an icon.
As you get into the 90s, how did you cross roads with Mirko Krokop?
Yeah, like 1997, 1998, we met each other, and he was like, he was completely unknown. He was Mirko Filipovic. He was not Krokop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at that time, Croatia is small, country, and you know, we at that time, at that moment, we just finished the war, you know, and we were so proud with our country. And I was thinking, you know, how to do something to promote our new young country, you know. So I put it together because he was student of police academy, and that's the second part of his nickname, you know, Cop.
Cop.
And Kro is a short name for Croatia, so uh-huh. That's how Kro Cop. And yeah, that was cool, and we started in Japan on K1. Then I put his entering song. I put like Wild Boys.
So that's it, Junkie Nation. That's the guy right there.
That's the guy that created.
I admitted to him I didn't like it at first, but it grew on me. Goz always liked it, but I was like, what? Duran Duran. That was one of the toughest guys in the world. Duran Duran. I didn't see the correlation. Mm-hmm. But. This was Orsat's baby here, the nickname Krokop, yeah. The song Wild Boys. And what was Mirko's reaction to the nickname and the song? Did he embrace it right away, or was he hesitant? Did he push back?
No, he liked immediately Krokop.
Yeah.
Because he was also, you know, at that time, kid, you know, young kid. And we had some, you know, dreams. How to be world champion,
yeah.
How to be the most famous fighter in the world. And we were preparing him for Japan. And yeah, I remember I picked him up with my car, and in the car I put him like two songs. And yeah, we agreed that then I said my favorite is like, at that moment was like Duran Duran. Because of these drums, you know, it's like a mm-hmm. warrior song, you know. It yeah. gives you, it can pump your adrenaline, you know.
Do you remember what the other song was?
Actually, it was also Duran Duran.
Was it?
Yeah.
George, you want to guess?
Hungry Like a Wolf?
It can't be Girls on Film, right?
So no.
There's
no.
Hungry Like a Wolf.
It can't be Come Undone or Ordinary World
no.
or... what's that? Please, please tell. Which
no.
one's that one? No?
Union of the State.
Union of the State.
Union
okay.
of the State.
I think he went with the right choice.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. Wild Boys.
Wild Boys. He went
awesome.
With the right choice.
Yeah.
That's fun, man. That's crazy that...
So you have some exclusive info. Nobody knows it.
That could have been the Krokop song the whole time.
And he liked it, huh? He liked it when he heard it. He liked the nickname. So right away, you were his guy.
Yeah, we had some reserve options. But, you know, when we saw reactions in, you know, Japanese audience and Japanese...
Oh,
yeah.
Union,
the backup.
Yeah, always. Sometimes, you know, most of the time I have goosebumps immediately. When I heard... No, this one, but the
Wild Boys?
Wild Boys, yeah.
Has Duran Duran ever said anything?
Yeah, this is a...
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Has Duran Duran, the band, ever said anything towards Krokop? Were they aware of, you know, him, that being his walkout song, and did they ever forge a relationship?
No.
No?
No, yeah. Okay. Because at that moment, you know, we were thinking, you know, what reactions will be in Japan, you know. And the first time we came with the Wild Boys, it was like a World Grand Prix, K1 World Grand Prix in Japan, 1999.
When you guys were doing this, were you friends, or had you already established yourself as his manager?
No, I mean, we really passed together lots of things. Lots of shit, if I can be honest.
Right.
Yeah, especially at that time.
What were you, were you friends or manager right then when you were pitching Krokop and Wild Boys?
At that time, we just started to know each other. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, we become really close friends.
Okay, so you hadn't started brokering the deals in Japan or anything like that with Mr. Saki Kubara.
Saki Kubara.
Yeah.
No. No, we met each other, and we discussed about that option that I start to work with him, and a couple of months later, I came with proposal, and we started to prepare him for Japan.
What is it like in Croatia? Have Krokop and Sukor, have they ever met? And what is the respect between sport to sport there?
Yeah, they know each other, of course. Yeah, more or less all these, you know, big guys in sports, they know each other, and they respect each other, you know, because all of them, you know, it's a universal thing. They know what they sacrificed in their sports, so they respect each other because even, you know, if it's tennis, it doesn't mean it's you need to invest all your heart, all your strength to be champion, you know. It's the same thing like Krokop, you know. These guys, Krokop is sparring and he's training in the gym, but these guys, they are playing at, 120 degrees, 4 hours on the court. You know, it's also brutal.
If you had to guess, who do you think was more in awe of the other person? In other words, here in the United States, in our sports, if you were to take the best soccer player and introduce them to the best basketball player, the best soccer player would probably be more like, wow, that's LeBron James, versus him doing it that way. How do you think that went?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a different time, you know. Maybe, I don't know, when Davor was at the peak of his career, when he was number one player in the world, you know, he would be like, let's say, a little bit more popular, because at that time, Mirko, he was just starting with career. But now, you know, Mirko, he's icon, he's legend, and he's like, he's still fighting. You know, it's crazy, but it's true.
Okay, so Orsted, I wanted to ask you, on September 28th on CBS Sports Network at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, inside the Fight Dome, will that be FFC 31 technically?
Yes.
Technically, okay.
Technically, it's FFC 31, but like I said, it's a night of champions. Every single fight is for the belt.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your goal is, well, what's your goal? Let me ask you that. Because we had a conversation, and I want you to release what you're comfortable with releasing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I did lots of things in Europe last few years, and I don't know. I 3 years ago, I moved to Los Angeles. And from that moment when I moved, when I decided to move, actually before I decided to move, still in Europe, I had idea to make kind of a big deal in Vegas, which at that time, when I was talking to my friends in Europe, it was like funny idea, you know. Most of them, they were laughing. Because
and all this because of that night with your grandfather, Caesar's Palace, and Muhammad Ali? Like, why did you think about...
No, you know, it's very simple, you know. Just when we are talking about Caesars, last 14 years ago, they stopped to be involved in the fighting sport. Mm-hmm. And more than 50 companies from all over the world, they tried to do kind of deal with them, and they were not interested. So from the very first moment when I approached them, they showed interest, and then it gave me hope that we could do something, you know. And everybody knows that, you know, Las Vegas is it's like kind of Mecca. It's a top of the world for entertainment, especially right. for the fighting sport.
Right.
So how many brands from the rest of the world you can see that they are producing shows in Vegas? None. Zero. It's difficult. It's not easy. You have different rules. You have Athletic State Commission, which is another thing what we don't have in Europe and in the rest of the world. Also, it's not that powerful like here, and especially in the States. Nevada is very well known, like a very strict organization. You know, so for me, it took more than 1 year to get the promoter's license for boxing, kickboxing, and MMA. And, you know, the different regarding production, you have union. You know, in Europe, we don't have union. Everything is different, difficult, more expensive. So, but yeah, I mean, like 3 years ago when I started to negotiate, still it was like a... like just idea, but like I said, in February this year I signed a deal with the Caesars, with the Caesars Entertainment, and they decided that we will put our show at Rio.
All suites, baby.
Yeah.
Every single room there is a suite. That's been their trademark. Okay, so let me ask you this. This is the home of the Ultimate Fighting Championship in MMA. This is the home of Mayweather Promotions, for example, in boxing. We've seen PFL, which used to be WSOF technically,
yep.
King of the Cage. Bellator's never really stepped foot in Las Vegas. A lot of people feel like by doing that, they're going head-to-head with the UFC. Explain, that doesn't appear to me to be your mission to go head-to-head with the UFC. It looks like you're looking for maybe kind of like an alternative to what people are used to by bringing a weekly series.
Yeah. I mean, I never had idea to compete with UFC, honestly, you know. Also, in Europe, I had a Fight Channel. I sold the channel like last year when I touched the peak. And still, I'm managing that business. And from very, very beginning, when I launched that channel, it was 2011, UFC was my main partner. So more or less, I know all people from UFC, and I never had idea to compete with them, actually. And honestly, I think, especially from my perspective, from Croatia, it would be stupid, you know, that I try to say that I'm going to show something to UFC. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, you know, honestly, it's UFC is like, at the moment, they are different category, you know. And if all of us who are involved in the fighting sport, if we want to be honest with ourselves, we need to thank UFC because they changed fighting sport. I think, in general, they did some things for the fighting sport that it will be written in the history.
Do you miss Pride?
Yeah, I love Pride. You know, I grow up with the martial arts with the Pride, and it's if you watch FFC, my brand from very beginning, you can realize there is a pure Pride influence. You know, even the rules from very, very beginning, we had Pride rules. That's the reason why we had lots of fans in Brazil, especially in Japan, you know. But of course, when I started to do, I did two shows in the United States, 2016. I did Daytona Beach, Florida, and Springfield, Massachusetts. And because of that, we changed our rules from Pride to UFC rules, you know.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, and yeah, we stayed like that. And but yeah, I love Pride. I love that. It was, if you remember, I don't know, the posters from Pride.
Yeah, they're the
it's
best.
Always
they're awesome.
Yeah, it's always some different meaning, like very deep meaning from the poster, and then everything around was always like unique.
Mm-hmm. All right, this is Orsat Zavko, and we're talking about Final Fight Championship, his baby, which launches on September 28th. It'll be FFC 31. Night of Champions. You can catch the fights on CBS Sports Network at 10 p.m. Eastern Start Time. I also want to rehash the days of Pride, if you don't mind, in just a bit. But right now, let's take a commercial. You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 93. Stay close. We'll be right back. We'll also touch on the latest news, and we'll take your calls. 866-522-2846.
I get paid to say things in this cool voice, and they get paid to be lame. Here are Gorgeous George and Goes.
SiriusXM's The Highway and Ram Trucks have your chance to win the all-new Ram 1500. One grand prize winner will drive off in a new Ram 1500 equipped with the best radio on the road, the SiriusXM 360L. It's the newest, most amazing way to experience SiriusXM. For official rules and to enter, go to SiriusXM.com/Ram. Do that before September 19th. Online entries only. Certain eligibility restrictions apply. See official rules. No purchase necessary to enter or to win. Orsat Zavko is our guest here today. He's our co-host. He is the president and founder of Final Fight Championship. And we've been introduced to him as Miracle Krokop's manager for about a 20-year run you guys had, right?
Yeah, we started like 1998, yeah.
Yeah, so, all right. Yeah. What was your question?
That guy that came up to the window, what's his name? He comes
by. I just
by.
Waved quick because I was reading here, but I was doing real.
Every day he comes by. When somebody salutes you and you don't know what to do, sometimes you do it right back, right? So he came up today and I was working and I just looked up and he came by the window and he just went like that. And he just pointed at me, and I didn't know what to do, so I just went right back at him.
Is it G, the guy that comes and gambles with the
I think so, yeah.
Oh, and it's G from Tennessee.
Well, they both do it. Now they're both doing it, and they won't stop doing it until you do it back to them. So you haven't noticed that? Now you got to do it back, and you got to go like that. And I don't even know what that means. He's like the monkey from Family Guy.
Yeah, I mean.
G-E is his name?
G-E, that's how I know him. Yeah.
Yeah, this has been going on for like 3 days.
And I call his son G-E Light.
All right. Orsat, how many gozes will it take to defeat Miracle Crow Cop in the MMA Junkie Radio studio? I have everything. I can use anything here.
Well, there's a baseball bat there.
Well, no. What I mean is like the desk, the chairs. I can move. I can maneuver around here. Mm-hmm. I can jump on here. I can do whatever. How many of me? I say 13. George said, what, 8?
I think 8 of you could take.
And Dan says 16. How many do you think?
I'll stay with Dan.
16?
It's closer to Dan, I think.
You guys want
to
know what my strategy is?
Yeah. I would like to know. Okay. You know, strategy is the one thing. You know, each fighter has a cool strategy before the fight, you know.
I'm going to get him here, all right? Yeah. And I'm going to have 3 of me here, good. And then I'm going to have 2 of me there. The rest mm-hmm. are going to be over there. Mm. These guys are to cause a distraction, kind of like Dan said. They're going to dive at his legs. And because it's just a smaller amount, he's going to think these guys are up to something. But really, they're the distraction so that these guys can rush. And then these 3 are going to jump over the table and try and get an aerial attack. If that goes bad, then I think it's going to take way more than 16.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get pissed and it's over.
Yeah.
8, I think I will die.
What's the most pissed you've seen Miracle Crow Cop?
Yeah. It's, Yeah, I remember. I remember some really hard times at the beginning of career.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is there a story you can share?
Not really.
No?
Honestly, it was a hard time. It was a hard time and, you know, I never seen somebody like Mirko that he's so focused and so dedicated to this, what he's doing, you know. And mm-hmm. even now, at that time, you know, he survived so many things, and at that time, it was, you know, it was time after the war in Croatia, mm-hmm. and it was tough. It was tough time, you know. It was difficult to survive, you know.
I would not want to be the guy that tells him we lost your luggage, sir.
Oh, remember the shorts? Yeah, no way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he looks like he. There's certain things that he won't tolerate. You know what I mean?
That's like not even knowing that he's an MMA fighter. I was still, just if he was just a regular guy, I'd be like, hey, you take this one.
Yeah.
But knowing what I know, that's when I take a break and I go, hey, you guys handle it.
Yeah, but he's also crazy. He likes jokes and he's making lots of jokes. We were making lots of jokes in Japan with other fighters, with our stuff, you know. And
Mauro Ranallo.
You must be ready. Yeah. You must be ready for surprises, you know, when you are around Mirko.
Yeah.
Is there one particular fight that, not Mirko, but you were maybe had the most anxiety watching before the match started?
You know, honestly, I was, after, you know, it's a very different feeling, you know, like if you really have passion about things what you're doing, so sometimes I don't know, I was like after the fight I couldn't sleep whole night because of adrenaline, and he slept. You know, so I don't know which fight I could
What about the open weight Grand Prix? That had to be one of his biggest accomplishments, right?
Yeah definitely that was, but
I mean, it was 2-1 night. Vanderlei first, and then Barnett.
Yeah.
That was a great night.
But, you know, at that time, Mirko was already famous. You know, he was already a star. So, honestly, I would, if I need to pick, you know, some specific moment, I think it's our first K-1 World Grand Prix.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, 1999. So, he came to Japan like rookie, you know, like unknown fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Just like new nickname, Crow Cop. And... you know, he went to the final. In the final, he lost against Ernesto Hust. But it was, you know, from that moment, his career changed completely, you know. Mm-hmm. He became star over the night. Mm-hmm. Because it was Tokyo Dome, like 60,000 people. you know, at that time K1 was on the top. It was like a golden era of K1, number one fighting brand in the world without competition.
Orsett, I want to ask you something that we always ask our in-studio guests, mm-hmm. and it had to do something similar with, have you ever seen Mirko in a bad mood? But I want to ask you, can you share a good street fight story with you that involved you, not Mirko?
You can go all the way back to when you were a kid in school, just whenever in life.
Yeah. I was born and I grew up in that surrounding that you have to fight on the street, you know.
Tough neighborhood?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that part of the world, you have to know it at some moment. You have to know some skills, you know, to survive. You know. I had a couple of situations.
Let's hear it.
In Austria.
Okay. Ooh, yes. All right.
It was completely crazy. Crazy situation, you know. I just did the surgery of my sinuses.
Okay.
And still I had like gauze in my nose, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was the weekend and it was Saturday and I had a meeting. And I asked my wife to go with me because I just came out from hospital, you know.
Okay.
And we were in the city center of Vienna, yeah. And my wife, she was in the store. I was waiting outside and talking on the phone. Mm-hmm. And usually when I'm talking, I'm walking up and down, you know.
Like a caged lion.
Yeah, like, yeah, something okay. like that, yeah. And in one moment when I turned around, the guy was in front of me. I said, excuse me. And next second, when I was turning around, the guy wanted to punch me. And I was so lucky. By coincidence, I skipped the punch. Mm-hmm. If he hit me to the nose, which was still after surgery, I think, I don't know what happened. And I was confused, you know, I was still on the phone. I was trying to go back. Something is wrong. But the guy was going after me.
Well, you don't know why, though?
No.
Okay.
You didn't hang up? You were still on the phone?
I was, at that time, I was still on the phone. Oh, but wow. after that punch, yes, of course, I hang up. And then people start to be around. And I was, after surgery, I was weak. You know, I was exhausted, you know. And we just start to, I catch him. We just start to push each other. In one moment, I put him down. And I was like, it was ground and pound.
Mm-hmm. How'd you get him down?
You know, it was just like I put him...
Like a trip?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I hit him a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And then people were, start to scream around. Mm-hmm. And there was security because there was lots of stores around. Mm-hmm. And the guy was down. I punched him a couple of times. And the security already called police. Police came. And I tried to explain... I asked what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I never saw the guy. Mm-hmm. At that moment, my wife, she was going out. She just went out from the store. And I was explaining to police. The guy was still, he was bleeding. He was down on the ground. Mm-hmm. While I was talking to policemen, the guy jumped and he started to run. Policemen, they were talking between each other. Nobody was running after him. I started to run after him. Mm-hmm. And my wife, she was confused. The guy is running. I was running after him. And police is running after me. Mm-hmm. And in one moment, the guy said, stop, stop. He didn't stop. The guy shot in the air.
Whoa. Yeah. The police?
Guy, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And the guy stopped. And he hit him with something to the head. The guy falls down. Then they explained to me what's happened. Mm-hmm. The guy is, I don't know. Something is wrong with him. Whenever he heard the accent, the kind of somebody's talking my language or similar language, he's hitting immediately.
Wow. Really?
Because he had some bad experience, it reminds him
like
to
a PTSD or something? Like
something like that. And they checked him and they said it was not the first time. You know, so I said, you must be really lucky to come to Vienna for a weekend and to meet people like that, you know. So that was, yeah, like crazy experience in foreign country. But in my own country, yeah, like when I was a kid, yeah, I was surrounded with.
Wow, that was a good story. That was very detailed and everything.
You know what? I always remember the gauze that you have up here.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard fighters say that's one of the worst thing when they pull that out. Have you ever seen that?
I've heard it. I haven't seen it.
It goes on forever. It's like a clown trick. They just keep coming out.
You cannot imagine. It's like David Copperfield show. You start to think, okay, how it's possible that this, you know, like few meters of gauze is going out from your nose.
Wow.
And I had, that was, I had four surgeries on my sinuses.
Okay.
I was struggling with that a lot, in Europe. And then 3 years ago when I moved to the States, I did surgery in Los Angeles, and now I'm fine.
That was a cool story, man. Some people share it in detail. Others don't want to, but they'll still share it. But you had some really good details in there. I was also thinking the same thing. Are you still on the same call? Because it sounded like he was like using head movement.
Yeah, I thought he flipped.
Hang on a second. Like, I got some crazy guy here. But hold on. We got to finish this deal.
Yeah, but it's really crazy. Yeah, it was crazy situation. You know, you never know. You never know when some, you know, bad things can happen. You know.
All right. Let's take some phone calls here. If you want to follow these guys, it's 866-522-2846. We'll start off with Kevin in Chicago. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, guys? I got a couple of points. I was wondering if you see Marbek Taisimov. He was talking a lot of crap, and then he got missing weight by 5 pounds. I was wondering what you think should happen, because I bet he's just going to keep moving up the ranks like nothing even happened. And my other point is Zafko. I was wondering what Croatians think in Croatia, what they think of Stipe Miocic, Croatian-American. I was wondering what kind of the reception he gets over there. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, thank you.
I think on cards, whenever multiple people miss weight, the penalties seem to be harsher afterwards, the way the matchmakers take it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is going to be a little bit of a rough one.
More than likely, the UFC's governing themselves out there, so you'll probably see Mark Ratner there. And they'll probably do a 20% reduction of – do you already happen to know?
Our MMA junkie John Morgan tweeted, Taisimov's actually losing 40% going to his opponent.
Oh.
And I think only 20 for the other perpetrator on the card. I don't know if you mentioned him or not.
Because he's multiple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, there you have it. So 40
or maybe because of the amount, too. You know, you can negotiate. I think more people are catching on that. You know, fighters, you talk about it all the time, George. You can actually negotiate that. You don't have to take the minimum. You can negotiate for more. And you've seen a lot of guys bump up to that 30% or now more, 40%.
Okay. There you have it, Kevin. So 40%. Obviously, you disqualify yourself from bonuses. And if I'm not mistaken, it's not just that card. You may actually get dinged for the subsequent two cards, so three cards total where you're not eligible for bonuses. Unless you do something that's so spectacular that ESPN's running it for 24 hours straight, I got to believe your win is just a win, but that's about it. It doesn't get you any closer to being a contender or a championship fight or anything like that. Not to say he's, you know, close to that, but it costs you. It can cost you. Now, that said, I know I'll say, well, it didn't seem to cost Darren Till, you know what I mean? Because Darren Till just fought for it. But there again, Kevin, lies the inconsistency that's the UFC. And it's frustrating. So I'm with you there.
Sure. Oh, sorry, real quick. By the way, Marbek Taisimov, I don't think he missed weight before. But Desmond Green, remember this happened with his last fight. He fought Michelle Prezeris, who came in like 10 pounds over. And he lost that fight. And it was like, it was a decision. So I think it was more on Des Green's part. So good on Des Green and negotiate for that more because he's already been burned. He took the fight short notice and got burned and lost the fight, the heavy guy. So he's in that spot again, especially after what Des Green just went through with the car accident. Like, I'm surprised he even made it to fight night. Yeah, so good on him to ask for more.
And then the second question was, he was talking to you like he's your high school coach. He called you by your last name.
Yeah.
What do Croatians think of Stipe Miocic, who's American-born but of Croatian descent?
Yeah. I'll tell you also one thing that people don't know about Stipe, that he's, Croatian background, Croatian roots. First time when he was in Croatia, I brought him there.
Stipe?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Before mother and father, I brought him there. Yeah, it was like a few years ago. We were talking before that, and we organized like press conference for him at the Fight Channel in Croatia, and like Fight Channel was his host at that time for the first time in Croatia. Mm-hmm. You know,
was it as simple as you just thought it'd be great to have somebody of Croatian descent back in Croatia, or was there another purpose?
No, it was just because I was following Stipe from very, very beginning in UFC, you know. And I met him, he fought Struve at the Birmingham. He lost that fight.
He lost them.
Yeah, he lost the fight. That was the moment I met him, and he's a really cool guy. He's a really nice guy. Amazing guy. Mm-hmm. And we were following, at that moment, nobody knows who's Stipe, you know. And we were really promoting him for a couple of years on the Fight Channel. And also, I have a portal in that part of Europe. It calls Fight Site. So on Fight Site, almost on a daily basis, we were writing about him and trying to introduce him to audience in that part of the world, you know. Mm. And at one moment, yeah, we spoke about the idea that we'll bring him to Croatia and try to introduce him a little bit higher level to all mainstream Croatian audience, you know.
And did the Croatian audience embrace him, or, he's not Croatian?
No, they loved him.
They loved him. Okay.
They loved him. They loved him. He's more Croatian than, I don't know, some original Croatians who
oh, wow.
Yeah, he's an amazing guy. He's very proud with Croatia, and even he has tattoo, I think, Croatian flag or something like that.
Who brought Pat Barry over?
Mirko.
Okay.
Mirko, bro.
They had some funny videos. Yeah. It's like it could have been a reality show or something.
Yes. Yeah, I remember when Pat was there, yeah.
Yeah.
Has Pat Miletic gone that way?
Yeah, he's also Croatian.
Has he ever been that way over there?
I can't remember, honestly. Mm. I can't remember. But, you know, Stipe, he's also famous in Croatia. People follow him. And, also he did in fighting sport, he changed the history, you know. He defended, so many times his title that nobody did before.
Are the Croatians drinking Modelo beer now?
Oh, not yet. I don't think so that we have Modelo over there. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that would be a good move for Modelo.
All right, cool. Let's take this other break. We got one more break here in this first hour. You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on new Fight Nation Channel 93. Stay close. We'll be right back. And we have Arsad Zavko in studio here with us as the co-host.
Let's see. Up, up, down, down, left, right, B-A, start. You told me that code would get rid of them! Yeah, well, they're still here! Okay, but now they know I tried to kill them! Hold on, Mom, here Georgian goes!
SiriusXM and the Weather Channel want to help keep you and your family safe during Hurricane Florence. The Weather Channel is being simulcast on SiriusXM Channel 145 for both subscribers and non-subscribers. Hear the latest on the storm's path and what to do if it's headed your way. A special presentation of the Weather Channel on SiriusXM Channel 145 on all active and inactive SiriusXM radios. Folks, if you do have SiriusXM, please let anybody you know that is a non-subscriber, or if they've been a subscriber in the past and it's inactive now, that they can put it on Channel 145 if they can benefit from a lot of this news. I was watching CNN quite a bit yesterday, and they had correspondents all the way from like Virginia to North Carolina to South Carolina, and it's a hurricane that's just moving slow. Mm-hmm. And because it's moving slow, there's a ton of rain, which is going to cause flooding. So I think the wind and the rain, of course, is going to be damaging, but what I think is going to be damaging the most is the floods that are going to follow. Shout out to Sam and Pam, the young ladies that have come twice in the last couple of years, two times per year, and they come here and they do their belly dancing. They're from Wilmington, North Carolina, and Wilmington is basically the entrance. Welcome to the hurricane on the United States side, on the eastern seaboard. So they that city is getting pounded pretty hard, They elected not to evacuate, but so far so good. I told them, hey, as long as you don't mind, I'd like to check in with you guys and see if you guys are good. They told me they lost their power yesterday. Yeah, that's a big one right there.
Yeah,
they lost their power
and all that.
Exactly. But so far, they haven't experienced flooding. The windows, obviously, the roof, they can hear all that. They said it's pretty scary. But Big Jim, good friend of ours, he's a little bit more inland.
Yep.
Gary Alexander, I reached out to him. He's in South Carolina. Alton, from formerly of El Paso.
Yeah.
Or was it Lubbock?
He was a correspondent there for a while.
Okay, he did make some business trips there from time to time.
He evacuated like on day one.
He did, yeah. He did, and he says he told me as of this morning he was able to come back home.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so he's home. Cool. He's safe. I was thinking about our friends at JBLE in Norfolk, Virginia. But so scary. I'm not a meteorologist or anything like that. But, you know, I guess when you've lived 48 years, you've seen enough of these hurricanes that kind of like sweep through and then they circle around and, you know, pick another path. But this one, because it's slowed down, that's really the danger in it. But anyway, again, SiriusXM channel 145 for more information on that. Orsav Zavko is our co-host here for the day. Orsat, just is there any one fight on this weekend's UFC card that stands out to you? This is Vegas, so we like to talk about gambling. You gonna be watching the fights on Saturday?
Honestly, I have some meeting in.
Move this here for you.
Oh, okay.
Mark Hunt is fighting. Remember him?
Yeah. Of course, I know personally. I know Mark from
okay.
K1, from that days. I have to go to Los Angeles. I have some meetings in Los Angeles, so early morning I'm going to LA.
On Saturday?
Yeah, and I'm not sure shall I have chance to watch the UFC show.
Mm-hmm. Andrei Arlovsky's also on the card, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're debuting in Russia at the Olympic Stadium.
Yeah, and so I remember Olenik.
Alexei Olenik.
Yeah, because we fought him, Mirko fought him in Moscow, like 3-4 years ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if anything jumps out at you guys, I just figured I'd put it in front of you. I'll be bugging Dan all day tomorrow, or actually not all day, but early morning because he's the expert. But Dan, one quick one here.
Yep.
Thiago Alves +400 man against Alexei Kunchenko. Is that Kunchenko guy pretty legit? Like, or does Alves still have gas in the tank?
I thought Alves still had gas in the tank in the last fight. You know, I thought he was still alive in some matchups, but you know, Melendo was the real deal, so you got to temper that. And that being said, it's tough. Alves is still tough. He still wants to be there, but I don't know where his durability is at. And this Kachenko guy looks legit. Now, if Alves wants to dust off his underrated wrestling, that wouldn't be a bad idea. Mm-hmm. There are some holes. I don't think this Kachenko guy's tested that way. Mm-hmm. But he's got scary knockout power. He likes the Muay Thai, but he's got the master of sports in hand-to-hand combat and MMA and I think not Sambo, but a couple other accolades under his belt. But he's considered a prospect, though he's 34. But real deal. I'm staying away from that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Remember, our John Morgan, our writer and frequent co-host of MMA Junkie Radio, he is out in Moscow, Russia, so we have somebody on location for UFC Fight Night 136, also known as UFC Moscow. The fights start tomorrow at 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 a.m. Eastern. All right, remember, there's a 10-hour difference, so that's why everything's starting early. The whole show is on the UFC Fight Pass, and the first fight, once again, starts at 7:30 a.m. Pacific, 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Now, if you just want me to separate the prelims from the main card starts at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Those are the top four fights of the night, including Alexei Olenik and Mark Hunt, who are featured in the main event.
What do you think about that fight?
Ooh, I like Mark Hunt in this fight. I think Mark Hunt, even though he came through mixed martial arts as a striker,
yeah,
I think he has developed – well, first, for one, I think he's a great athlete. He's not that easy to take down. When you take him down, he starts to he has learned how to get up.
Yeah.
At one point, he was very susceptible on the ground. You know, he had gotten submitted in Pride in the UFC. But I noticed that he really, really put in some good work when he relocated to American Top Team. And he had a long stint with American Top Team. Now he trains back in Australia and in Thailand. But I feel like he can avoid the ground. And Alexei is younger than Mark, but I feel like his mileage, he wears it heavier. And so he gets hit a lot, and I just think Mark Hunt is going to put one on him. So I like Hunt. If the fight gets to the ground, it'll be interesting, but I still think Hunt can get out of a jam and get back to the feet.
Yeah, more advantage to Olenek if the fight is getting on the ground.
Who do you like?
Let's say Mark.
Yeah, how does he win?
I prefer Mark because, you know, I know him from this, what I said, from golden days of K1.
Right.
But
how does he win? Knockout?
Oh, yeah, I hope so. I hope so. He'll win by knockout.
All right.
If he catches the guy, it will be KO.
Okay. We've done a main event breakdown, folks. It's on MMA Junkie if you want to check it out. And Dan has also done a write-up. So please look at that on MMA Junkie. Hey, tonight at 9 Eastern, FridayNightFights.com has a Muay Thai show coming to us live from the Empire State of New York. Goz and I will be on the call. Well, actually, it's alternative broadcasting, so we'll just be enjoying it, observing it, calling it. You don't know what to expect, but we'll be on at 9 Eastern on the front page of MMA Junkie. And don't forget to get the Sportscaster app and check it out. Maybe you all can have some fun and become alternative broadcasters in the process. 9 p.m. Eastern start time. Check it out on the front page of MMAJunkie.com. We still got 1 hour to go. It's 1 hour down on the MMA Junkie radio show. And in the second hour, we'll be talking to Patricky Pitbull Frady. He'll be fighting Roger Huerta, a guest of ours earlier in the week, at the upcoming Bellator card on September 21st. Stay close. We'll be right back.
You'll never be the same again.
No matter what you do in the bathroom to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. They have amazing shower stuff, hair styling products, toothbrushes, and toothpaste, and of course, razors and shave supplies.
I use these products every day, George. The Amber and Lavender Body Wash is how I start my morning off. I get my body all nice and smooth, and then I switch over to the Big Cloud Good Shake Hand Cream. I love that stuff. But that's how I get ready. You're not me. You have to have your own way to get ready. You might shave your whole body to get ready for a bike race. Dollar Shave Club's Executive Razor and Shave Butter can help with that. You might do your hair to get ready for a soccer match. Boogies by Dollar Shave Club can help with that. It can get your style on point. The thing is, no matter what you do to get ready, Dollar Shave Club has everything you need.
And right now, you can get ready with an amazing deal on any one of their starter sets. I recommend the Daily Essentials starter set because I love Amber Lavender Body Cleanser. That's right. I love it. But you can't go wrong with any of them. Head over to the dollarshaveclub.com/junkie to pick up your own DSC starter set for just $5. After your starter set, products ship at a regular price. And make sure you check out their new video, too. That's dollarshaveclub.com/junkie, dollarshaveclub.com/junkie.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to MMA Junkie Radio. I want to take this time to let you know about our producer Danny's show. It's called Poppin' Off, and it airs live twice a week, Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. You can find the show, if you missed the live show, you can find the recording on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube the following day. Check it out. It's a lot of fun, and you get to see a little bit more of our producer Danny's personality. And my phone just rang in the background, so I'll turn that off because that sounds stupid. Fucking phone.
It's popping off.
You can listen to all of our episodes
on
iTunes or Spotify or
listen
Google Play.
Listen to all of our errors and the crap.
Spotify?
I searched the other day. We're on Spotify. I am on Spotify for two different reasons now. My band and this show. Woo-hoo! I can look at myself twice on Spotify.
You're famous. You're like a Y-lister celebrity.
Thanks. Thanks. Thanks.
Oh, man.
Watch live on the FNTSY YouTube stream.
All right, here we go. It's the second hour of the MMA Junkie Radio Show. Still got 1 hour to go. We will catch up with Patricky Pitbull Frady, one half of the Pitbull Brothers that you've seen in Bellator for many years. Those guys are going to hold some records for like most fights and most wins in certain divisions. Mm-hmm. Maybe the younger one, the champion, Patricio. Or I should say the smaller one. Patrick is usually fighting at 55. Patricio's been fighting at 45. He's held the title a couple times, and he's their current champion. But between them and Chandler, they hold some of the Bellator records.
Yeah.
We have Orsad Zofko here in studio with us, or as Kevin from Chicago calls him, Zofko.
He just went backwards, right?
Yeah, hey, Zofko, answer this question for me. Orsad is the president and founder of Final Fight Championship, FFC 31, which will be deemed Night of Champions, will be headed your way on September 28th, and you can catch it on the CBS Sports Network if you're not in Vegas, because the Fight Dome is opening that night, and there will be an opportunity if you're in Vegas to enjoy the ticket and be one of the first to ever see the Fight Dome. The Fight Dome is going to be very busy and very occupied as FFC plans on having shows on a weekly basis, already scheduled for 11 this year, every single one of them on CBS Sports Network at 10 p.m. Eastern Start Time. You'll see sumo, kickboxing, boxing, MMA, Muay Thai, basically anything you can think of when there's some sort of a combat, you're open to, right, Orsad?
Yeah, I mean, at the very beginning, we are starting with our, you know, basic sports, what we develop already in Europe, you know. It's like boxing, kickboxing, and MMA. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. I mean, the idea is because...
You did say sumo one time, or I heard it somewhere.
No, it's true.
Okay.
It's true, because the idea is to make... Because that's that venue, when we made the deal with the Scissors Entertainment, that venue with Rio, that venue is like just 24/7 just for us. And, you know, we bought all equipment, the light and sound and complete TV production. Everything will be settled over there. So we must make that venue busy. Mm-hmm. So Friday will be a day which is dedicated to FFC. But even you didn't mention Lucha Libre.
Lucha Libre, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So it's going
to
be cool.
We have idea to install like matinee, like Sunday afternoon, like 4 o'clock afternoon. With the Lucha Libre show, Las Vegas, Lucha Libre Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. It's a new brand. You will see. But yeah.
Will that be also on CBS Sports, or is that just Friday nights?
No, just Friday. Okay. Just Friday. And yes, the idea is to make the Fight Dome should be like dome of all martial arts. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, I don't have problem even to host some other brands, because everything will be set up, everything will be ready. You know, press button and you're ready to go. So even, you know, for other organizations, if they want to do shows in Vegas, they are more than welcome.
Now, the CBS Sports Network is channel 221 if you have DirecTV like we do. Also, it's a 24-hour home of CBS Sports. It's widely available on all major cable and satellite and telco distributors via OTT streaming service providers like YouTube TV, Fubo TV, PlayStation View, and Hulu. So I know I always say check your local cable and satellite listings, but you're now able to get, you know, there's these Sling TVs and everything that I'm learning more about,
yeah.
And you can still grab the content and run it through any one of these services. So I think I need to start mentioning that more as well when we get that type of information.
You know what it reminds me a lot of, what you're doing? Like the movie theater, right? There's always something going on. And it just depends on what you like. Some people like action movies. Some people like horror movies.
Exactly.
And you just look every week and you go, I like sumo. I'm going to go on Tuesday or whatever. Or on Sunday, I'm going to go Lucha Libre. And you just kind of look and pick and choose and you go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the idea, you know, because I don't know how many millions of tourists are coming to Vegas on during the year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is to make like a Fight Dome attraction for the fighting fans. That whenever you come to Las Vegas, you know that you can watch some good fights, you know. And for local people, that every week they can see different martial arts. Because our system for Friday night is that one Friday is a boxing show, next Friday is MMA, and next Friday is a kickboxing show. And then we are rolling that all over again. Mm-hmm. So... always for all different fighting fans, we can provide something. Mm-hmm.
Give me one of your best moments since launching this idea that you had, and give me a frustrating moment that you've had along the way.
Let's say, I mean, the frustrating moments were definitely negotiation with the Caesars, like, I don't know, almost 2 years.
They're tough?
They're tough.
Okay.
They're tough, you know. And
because for many years they had boxing outdoors. They had a stadium. If you'll all recall, that's where Fan Man came in and interrupted a fight. Mm-hmm. When Mark Ratner's been here, we've spoken on that before. They've had a WrestleMania. I took Ghost to a WrestleMania when he was a little guy. And then it just so happened we had a pillar right in front of us that kind of obstructed our view. But we've been able to see some big, big sporting events there. And then they did away with it, like you said. 14 years later, they're bringing it back.
Yeah.
All right, so they were...
Yeah, it's whenever you... I thought, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
That was not it. Somebody else came with new questions, and it's starting to go from, you know, from beginning all over again.
Yeah.
And I don't know, the best moment, definitely when I signed deal with the Caesars. After that, I signed deal with the CBS. Mm-hmm. And I got the license from Athletic State Commission. So those three moments are the best for me.
Mm-hmm. So as frustrating as it was, in the end... It was an enjoyable,
yeah,
because you got what you wanted.
Definitely. It was hard, you know. I mean, you know, definitely lots of people would give up, you know. Mm-hmm. When you honestly, I'm in the business like more than 25 years, and I was negotiating tough deals. I was negotiating different kind of deals, but I never negotiate for 2 years. If somebody told me, you know what, you need to negotiate for next 2 years, and then we will see what will happen. Honestly, I would say thank you guys, but I have enough things to do next 2 years, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, piece by piece, it was like 2.5 years, you know. And, it was difficult.
You've done a lot of negotiations in your career and for different things. What was it like negotiating with Pride?
The K1 and Pride was like, at that time, that was the only choice, actually, you know. I mean, on the top worldwide level, you know. And always was, but at the end it finished good, you know. It was tough negotiation, but yeah, they want to see the heroes and the best fighters from the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, with Mirko, we had the upside and down with negotiation, but with the Japanese, but, you know, they loved him. And always we come to the solution, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, they, because he's real hero. In Japan, Crow Cup is a hero.
Were you nervous at all when he came to the United States for the UFC? Half of the people knew him from Pride, and then half are kind of the new fans that just kind of say, who's this new guy? It had to take time for him to grow here.
Yeah.
What did you think of all that?
You know, U.S. market is... it's people from the rest of the world... Some of the people, they don't understand that U.S. market is very specific. If you are not recognized at the U.S. market, you can be, I don't know what, in the rest of the world, almost nothing, you know. I mean, for example, Brother Klitschko, they did the biggest thing made in the history of boxing sport, but they didn't establish their names, their brands in the U.S. enough big level. You know, so, you know, the average, the mainstream audience, even if you walk on the street, probably, I don't know, half of the people, even more, they would not know who are Brother Klitschko in the U.S. Mm-hmm. You know, in Europe, you know, even the, I don't know, in Superstore, the lady who is on the cashier, she knows who are the Brother Klitschko, you know.
Right.
So that's the, so to make success, to make success in the U.S., to be recognized from mainstream audience, that's something. Then you did something big, yeah.
When you came, when Mirko came to the UFC, were you the one that negotiated with the UFC?
No. At that time, I took break in general from fighting sport.
Okay.
And that part of his career. And when he lost contract with the UFC at that time, then after that, we started to do business again. It was end of 2011.
Okay, but you weren't the one that brought him over from Japan to the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Before UFC deal, yeah, I was already...
Who was easier to deal with, UFC or Pride?
I mean, you know, because we were always in contact. Even when I was during this part of his career when he was in UFC, I was not managing him. But we were in contact all the time, you know.
And oh, I thought you said the second time he came back to the UFC, or...
No. After he lost contract, he came back to me. We started to do business again, you know.
Yeah.
So I never negotiate with the UFC for Mirko. So, but I, you know, more or less always I know, I knew details, you know, because we are, and even now, you know, we are talking almost every few days we are on the phone. Mm-hmm. And maybe my idea is also to bring Mirko.
All right.
Yeah.
Here? So, to the Mandalay Bay?
Okay, I'll bring him to Mandalay Bay when he comes.
Oh, you meant Vegas?
In Vegas, to fight, of course.
Oh, to fight, okay.
Yeah, to fight on FFC.
Yeah.
That's tricky because he could do multiple things.
Exactly.
What kind of fight?
Exactly. But honestly, it would be interesting to see him in a kickboxing fight. You know, he didn't do kickboxing fight from Glory. Mm-hmm. His last kickboxing fight was Remy Bonjanski in Zagreb, Glory Show. So it would be interesting to see him again in the kickboxing fight.
You don't want to put him in a mask and do Lucha Libre?
Oh, no. Mirko is not for that part, for sure. Believe me.
Dos Caras Revenge?
He's not that kind of guy. That's for sure.
That's right.
But even, you know...
Dos Caras.
I remember Dos Caras.
Yeah.
You know, even MMA, I don't care. Honestly, I would love to have him here. And we touched the subject the other day, and we'll see. Maybe.
Tell me about the days in Pride. What were those like?
You know, at that moment, you know, all top guys, you know, were in Pride. You know, that was the concentration of the biggest quality in the world. Everybody were in Pride. Mm-hmm. You know, so from Wanderlei, from Fedor, from you know, all these icons, they were there. Competition was the highest. You know, everybody can beat everybody, you know. So
now the stories that we hear sometimes, they're like legend stories, or you feel like they're mostly true, but you're not sure. It's like enough of a mystery, but they're interesting. We would hear stories about the fighters when the fights were over, they'd go to the back, and there would just be a briefcase with money, you know. And I guess either Saki Kabara or maybe the other guy would just grab and say, "This, you know, pay you that way or whatever." Is any of that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you may or may not have seen something like that.
No, because at that time, all these organizations, you know, they were doing business that way. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have after the fight, you have back. Just give you the bag, you know. It's easy, and everybody likes it.
And what do you do when you're carrying that bag in Japan? I mean, it's pretty safe, but like...
Yeah. So, yeah, that was really good. I mean, I think the fighters, they loved it, you know. They loved it, that part with the bag.
Uh-huh. Anything else like that? Any other stories like that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe one interesting thing, that the Japanese fans are very, very specific. You know, you have like girls, ladies. They are traveling. I don't know how many thousands of miles, just to make photo with their famous fighter. Mm-hmm. You know, and in I don't know 1 or 2 months, again, you can see the same lady, or the same fan. Again, he's traveling another few thousand miles, just to see again to make photo with his famous fighter, you know. Mm-hmm. And they are definitely the culture and the background is different than in Europe or United States, you know. The whole family are coming you know, to the big shows, and it's a huge, and the fighters are like very well respected. It's a different, yeah.
What'd you think of the Pride entrance?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
It's too bad
I love
that
it.
Chapter's over, and you know, Zuffa, and now Zuffa is WMEIMG Endeavor. It's too bad that they acquired it and buried it. I feel like they could still pull something out of something.
I would
like
do it.
That.
If I'm Zuffa, I would do it.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it. It's awesome. I mean, I guess KSW does something similar now, but just the music, what you would feel in the arena. We got to see it twice here in the United States.
Uh-huh.
It's like nothing you can ever experience.
I agree. I told you, from very, very beginning of when I started with the FFC, with my brand, there was huge influence from Pride, you know. And even the rules, and people loved it, you know. And we had so many fans, like I said, which surprised me. But we had so many emails, reactions after the fight from Brazil, from Japan. So, yeah, some of the people, they were disappointed when we decided to stop with the Pride rules.
Yeah. When I talk to certain fighters, they say they're more nervous for their friends when they fight than their own fight. So since in this case you're the manager and friend, what was your – you shared earlier with us that you'd be on a high when Mirko would win. You couldn't even sleep.
Yeah.
What about some of the lows? And I don't mean to bring up the bad past, but obviously we've established he's a great fighter, a legendary fighter. But what about like a couple – like, you know, finally we get the Fedor loss and he didn't win that one. Or maybe when he came over to the UFC. I know you said you weren't together, but one of the worst KOs ever was the Gonzaga KO.
Oh, yeah.
And then obviously the Randleman one that we talked about the other day. Yeah. What were those low moments for you guys as a team? Was it tough to get over, or did it, you know,
honestly,
easier?
You know, if you want to be honest, yeah, I think after that part of Mirko's career with UFC, he was a little bit different. You know, it's not easy to come back after that hard knockout. But on the other side, it shows how big character and how big fighter and legend is Mirko. Mm-hmm. Because at his age, at that moment, so many people would stop. Even he announced that he'll be retired. But then we met each other. It was end of 2011. We met each other and he said, we started this together. Let's finish this together. That was his sentence. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was like new challenge that I come back into fighting sport. Because I was completely out of fighting sport for a few years. Mm-hmm. At that moment, I launched Kids Channel in Europe. And then I launched a second Kids Channel. So I was involved in the kids program and I was completely in different area. But after that conversation with Mirko, yes, I decided to come back to the fighting sport. Mm-hmm. And then I did a huge show in Arena Zagreb. It was like...
The UFC one?
No, before.
Okay.
It was 2012. Mirko fought Ray Sefo.
Oh, in the retirement match?
Actually, we called that Crow Cop final fight. People thought it's a retirement match, but I never said, you cannot find nowhere that I said it's his last fight and retirement match. It was just beginning of final fight. It was Krokov final fight, but, you know, people understood.
It sounds like a retirement.
I understand, yes, it sounds like a retirement match.
Or was it like a final run of fights? Or is that what you meant, maybe?
Yeah, but that was not the idea. That we never announced that it's his last fight. Some medias, they pronounced like that, but it was not the idea. But, you know, that was the, like, new beginning after this bad part of his career in UFC. Like I said, you must be very strong in the head, and so many people would already quit mm-hmm. after this UFC part. But that shows how his mind is strong, how he's dedicated. Even at that age, what he has at that moment, he decided to put everything inside and to come back again. And, you know, that fight, it was a huge show, like, I don't know, 13,000 people, something like that. It was first time that Mirko is fighting in Croatia on the big scene, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge show, and Michael Buffer was ring announcer. Ray Sefo, who is also a good friend of mine, he fought, and it was a great show. And after that, you know, I realized I need to, my first thing in my head was that I need to bring self-confidence back to Mirko. Mm-hmm. Because if you watch that fight, you know, you can see there is no Mirko, there is no self-confidence, you know. There was lots of clinching, you know, after one missed punch, he was grabbing opponent, he was grabbing Ray, you know, he was, but every next fight, he was more and more confident, mm-hmm. you know. And at that part, we decided just to stay in the kickboxing with the K1. At that moment, we signed deal with the K1 again. And after that, I did K1 World Grand Prix in Croatia. That was also huge. Badehari was there. Pavel Zurablev, that was like at that moment top 8 fighters in the world, and Mirko won K1 World Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. That was like another push for his self-confidence. And after that we decided, okay, now he already did a couple of fights, he won in kickboxing, yes, we will start again with the MMA fights.
He mentioned Ishii. And Ishii's going to be fighting on your card. And you said new champions are going to be crowned, so I imagine he'll be one of the ones that could possibly be crowned. Could that maybe pull Mirko, just because they've had history towards the end of their career? Maybe even more from Ishii's side, he wants to get a win over Mirko. Mirko's already beaten him twice.
Honestly, I'm also realistic. I think there is no chance that two of them, they are fighting on FFC show.
Okay.
Because, especially because now Ishii is Mirko's student. He's training on daily basis with Mirko and Mirko's team. Okay. You know, because at the moment Mirko has 2-3 top guys.
Okay.
In Europe, from Europe, you know. Mm-hmm. And all of them they are training together, so no chance that Ishii fought Mirko twice, he lost twice, and I think there is no chance that they're fighting third time.
All right.
If I were a fighter in that time period and I saw what was happening with Mirko Krokop and I came to you, I would probably think that I would ask you to manage me. Did other fighters see what you did with the Krokop brand, with him as a fighter, and did they ask you, and did you ever take any of those?
Yeah, definitely. There was a couple of guys what I was managing also, besides Mirko. One of them was Mike Bernardo. Mm-hmm. If you remember, the guy from South Africa. Yeah. Amazing guy. Also amazing guy. He moved to Croatia. So he lived in Croatia almost 2 years. And
what happened to a guy named Zel Galisic?
Oh, Zel. Very, very nice guy. Amazing guy.
Is he still fighting?
No, he's not fighting, but he's one of the, one of the biggest supporter of FFC in this part of the world, in Europe. Because most of his fighters... Even I think at the moment we have at least one or two guys from his school, from his gym. They are FFC champions in kickboxing. I think we have one. Yeah, one for sure. And always, you know, for Zelg, there is a very interesting thing. He transfer his part of his mindset. He transferred to his fighters. So always, most of the gym, they calculate, you know, they will accept this fight, they will not accept this and that, you know, always you need to, sometimes headaches. With Zelg, last moment, if it's 3 days before the fight, his fighters are accepting the fight. They never complain. They never ask for different opponent. They never change opponent. So, you know, he, like I said, his fighters are really like samurais. They came to fight. They don't care who they are fighting with. And I really respect Zelg and all his fighters. He's, like I said, he's one of the biggest supporter of FFC.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right, I know we have to take a break, so let's do it right now. You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on Fight Nation Channel 93. Stay close. We'll be right back. We got Orsat Zafko in studio.
The stretch marks on the underbelly of the MMA community. But hey, stretch marks are the new tats. They are gorgeous George and Goes.
It's week 2 in fantasy football, and Fantasy Sports Radio is helping you win. Listen to the best fantasy football experts analyze this week's NFL matchups from the fantasy football perspective. Find out which players you need to have in your starting lineup. And hear the latest news and injury information, plus weather alerts and interviews with the people closest to the game. It's nonstop fantasy football talk 24 hours a day on Fantasy Sports Radio. Sirius 210 XM 87, streaming on your phone and at home on connected devices and speakers. Blast it, Danny. Let's hear that song. I like that lady's voice.
She's going to be here. You know that, right?
Clock up!
You know she's going to be here, right?
Really?
Yeah.
For FFC?
Oh, no.
Oh. What's she going to be here for?
You'll find out.
Oh, wow. All right. What's her name? I forgot it now.
Len Hart.
Oh, it's Len.
Yeah. People just say Lenny because it looks like it's spelled that way, but it's actually Len.
Oh. I got an announcement to make.
Sure.
Ensign Inoue will be hanging out with us junkies during the Junkie Gathering.
Yeah. Awesome.
He'll be here. I know for sure. I think it's Friday and Saturday, but it may even be Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Oh. Or it may be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but at least there's 2 days where he just wants to hang out with us. And he is coming down, so he's such a nice guy. He's totally the one that made us, or makes the bracelets. Goes, you got one?
Yeah.
This there is you go. Destiny Forever is what it's called.
Only 7 other people have this bracelet because well, this is an exclusive MMA Junkie, Ghost Jitsu Hall of Fame bracelet.
Very cool. All right. You like it?
I like it.
You know Ensign Inoue, right?
Sorry, what?
You know Ensign Inoue?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he runs them streets of Japan, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. He declared himself safe because I think there was an earthquake recently. So that was nice to see. And hopefully the people out on the eastern seaboard there, you know, along the Carolinas and Virginia are safe. I know you guys are being ravaged by Hurricane Florence. So please let us know. All right. Tonight, a New York Muay Thai promotion, Friday Night Fights. The longtime New York Muay Thai promoter announced that they will have some fights. And it's, you know, we're here. It's that day on Sportscaster. Goes and I will be calling some fights in an alternative broadcasting mode at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Mateo Maldonado will face Giovanni Mercado, and Brian Kamara opposes PJ Suida on the free Sportscaster broadcast. And you can catch that on the front page of MMA Junk if you want to know more information. Our editors put up a post on that. All right, I think we need to make some time for the daily debate because there's a 50-50 chance that we are going to be talking to Patricky Pitbull Frady, who is one half of them Pitbull brothers that get down over in Bellator. Roger Huerta will be his opponent on September 21st. I think that's Bellator 205, if I'm not mistaken. The question for the day. Former UFC featherweight champ Jose Aldo recently expressed interest in moving up to lightweight. If it happens, which currently unbooked fighter would you like to see him face in his 155-pound debut? Here are your four choices, guys. Orsat, you're participating. Eddie Alvarez, Justin Gaethje, Ally Aquinta, or Kevin Lee. You go first, Dan.
You know, booking-wise, I guess, yeah, I guess all these names make sense as far as who's booked, who's available. Yeah, the leg kick war with Justin Gaethje sounds fun, but, you know, I think that's the kind of matchup that you could get Eddie Alvarez to stick around for. I know he's kind of up in the air, but I imagine if he's going to come back, it's going to be for big fights like this. And I wouldn't mind seeing two names that I would have never have imagined in any other scenario fight each other. Well, have them fight each other. I'll go Eddie Alvarez.
How about you guys?
I was leaning towards Justin Gaethje, but I need that to happen under Pride rules. But since that won't happen, I'm going to go with just a fun matchup. I think him and Al would be fun.
Him and Ally Quinto.
Yeah.
All right. How about you, Orsett? Who would you like to see Jose Aldo face out of those four?
Yeah, I would like to see also Eddie Alvarez.
Eddie Alvarez?
Yeah.
I'm with you guys. Yeah. I think that's the matchup to make because I think Gaethje and Lee are headed towards that contendership right behind Tony and Dustin. So I think that makes sense. But if you tell me, oh, Gaethje's 2 years away from a title shot or 18 months away from a title shot, he's my other one because, yeah, the leg kicks – and the fact that those guys would just put on a show. Not that Eddie Alvarez has not put on a show before because he's put on many shows. But I know that Eddie at some point shifts gears. You know, he starts off and he can go to 5 quickly. And then there's times where he becomes a little bit more cerebral under Mark Henry. Whereas Justin's a gangster, man. The whole time he's just like, let's go. Let's throw. Let's roll till somebody's asleep. And so that's what makes both of those guys exciting. But it was a real good question because we had to kind of think about that whole scheme at 155 pounds. Luckily, Khabib and Conor are going to sort some things out, as will Nate and Dustin, as will Tony and Anthony Pettis. So really, really like what's happening at 155 pounds. And if Jose's moving up, ooh, look out. It's going to be an incredible division, more incredible than it already is. Here are the results. Most of you agreed with Justin Gaethje at 36%. 35, sorry. Eddie Alvarez, 34%, was in second. Close. 19% said Kevin Lee. 12% said Al Iaquinta. Thank you to the 1,538 that voted. And there's your daily debate brought to you by the MMA Junkie Radio crew and Orsat Zavko, the president and founder of FFC Final Fight Championships. Which, by the way, on September 28th, they have a fight card here in Vegas inside the Fight Dome that they built. The Fight Dome will be exclusive to all the combat sports content headed your way on a weekly basis. 11 shows already promised for this year that include boxing, kickboxing, MMA, and, of course, other stuff. Lucha Libre, sumo. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it all starts on September 28th on the CBS Sports Network. Will there be any other outlets other than CBS Sports Network where someone can tune into the news? We have a worldwide audience, and I'm just wondering if anybody else is wondering, like in Mexico or Canada or Europe or Asia.
We'll have Claro TV and Azteca for Latin America.
Okay.
We will have Fight Channel World for the rest of the world. Okay. It'll be online, stream, pay-per-view. And we are still negotiating in the last moment for we have a standby couple of stations from Europe. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but for us at the moment we are more focused on the US market. Mm-hmm. And on CBS. That for this year that's priority.
Fight Dome is always there. You guys are the only residents. So
exactly.
Technically, if George and I are arguing and we just say, I can beat you in arm wrestling, no, you can't. If we walked over there, you're set up so that you could just turn on a stream and stream that to the world, right?
Yes, and I'll be the referee.
There you go.
I'll be the referee.
We have to start coming up with things like that, George, because so many fighters come here. Let's just go to Fight Dome.
Yeah, we can make it happen in 5 minutes. We just press the button, the lights on, screen, LED screens, cameras, everything is on. 5 minutes, and you fight.
And Orsat has spared no expense. He says he's bringing some of the top equipment that he owns and that he's collected over the last 20 years working in television. So we're looking forward to seeing your production. And it seems like there's a sort of a ramp, an entrance for the fighters to come in. And I think that's what you meant about having some of the ideas come over from what Pride used to do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, always there is influence of Pride, of course, from very beginning. But you must adapt yourself to the ambience, to the arena, what you have at that moment, you know. So this is a completely different concept what we did even before in Europe, you know. This is a small venue, like a very, very private atmosphere, very, it would be packed atmosphere, you know. It's a little bit less than 1,000 people, you know. And it's a different concept than when we were doing in Europe, bigger arenas, like including this Zagreb arena, which is like 15,000 people. It's not easy to fill, you know. So with the weekly concept, you know, it's very hard and very difficult to have big arena. So this is perfect. This is like a little bit less than 1,000 people. It's a perfect. Every week is a different discipline, so different audience, but still it's a martial arts fighting sport. So yeah, I'm looking forward that we start.
Anybody coming to Las Vegas that wants to get a promoter's license knows that that's a giant headache.
That's a tough.
For one thing, you have, I think, three, right? Three licenses to do kickboxing, boxing,
yes.
MMA.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you know you were going to be able to get all three, or were you ever nervous that maybe only one? Because not very many people can do
nervous.
That, right?
I was nervous to get it all, you know, because, not too many people from the rest of the world. I don't know how many people, or maybe even nobody, has boxing, kickboxing, and MMA license in the state of Nevada. So I was nervous, honestly, for some reason. It took more than 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many permits, so many certifications from Europe, from here. You know, so it's a, but it's a good, you know, there is a rules and you must respect the rules. And it's a very, people from commission, they are very dedicated to this, what they are doing. And At the end of the day, it's a good for sports that everything is set up, that everything is by the rules.
How do you celebrate?
Sorry, how?
How do you celebrate? You have a lot of uphill battles, but it seems like you come out victorious a lot. When you do, how do you celebrate?
Are you a drinker?
Not really. Yeah, sometimes I like the drink gin and tonic, Hendrix, gin and tonic. But I'm not heavy drinker. You know. Mm-hmm. I'm not.
You just treat yourself to a nice dinner or something? Or?
Yeah, I like to be surrounded with my friends, and yeah, here also in Vegas, I have also my friends from my hometown, from Dubrovnik, from Croatia. So yeah, honestly, I don't have too much time to have fun, and. From one perspective, I'm a very boring guy. You know, I don't know how to gamble. I don't know any of these rules, the roulette, or I don't know. I'm not playing these games. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm dedicated. I came here for work. I came here for a mission, and that's my focus.
Only 2 weeks left.
Yeah.
2 weeks from today. All right, let's take one more break. That way, we're out of the way. You're listening to MMA Junkie Radio on Sirius XM. Almost said it, Rush 93, but we're now Fight Nation 93. Stay close, we'll be right back.
They taught Andy Griffith how to whistle. Here are Gorgeous George and Goes.
All right, let's jump straight to the hotline. We got Patricky Pitbull Frady waiting for us. Hello, Patricky. How you doing? Hello, Patricky. All right, Patricky. How you doing? Are you going to speak? Are you going to speak to us in English, or do you have your translator with us?
Both. I got you.
Good. All right, all right. Great to hear. Patrick, you got a 3-fight win streak. Some big names, man. Josh Thompson, Benson Henderson, Derek Campos. And if you get past Roger Huerta, do you believe that a title shot awaits you?
Yeah, I really want to knock out my next opponent, and my next step is knocking out the champion.
Do you believe that if Brett Primus doesn't defend soon, that there should be an interim title that comes about because it's been over a year? All right, we're talking to Patricky Frady. He fights at Bellator 205 versus Roger Huerta on September 21st. Paramount has you covered with a 9 p.m. Eastern start time. That's channel 241 if you have DirecTV like Goes and I. Otherwise, check your local satellite and cable listings. Goes, what do you have for Pitbull?
Patricky, in the past, some of your opponents have tried to get into your head, a little trash talk. With Roger Huerta, he's a nice guy. He said nothing but nice things about you. Does that make things a little bit more difficult when you want to fight a guy like that? It's a little different. I like Josh.
my class.
Okay. Thank you very much, Patrici, for joining us here on MMA Junkie Radio. We look forward to your fight versus Roger Huerta at Bellator 205 on September 21st. Obrigado, mi amigo.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Thank you very much to Bellator for lining up the interview. Next time, let's use a telephone.
That was just too rough of a connection, we used two strings, so we had to let that one.
And a cup, maybe? Is that how that one worked out? I'm hoping the lovely and talented Fernanda Pratis can maybe piece something together from that, because that was very difficult to understand. And I know they did their best to connect, and they're probably in Brazil, but I was only able to pick up every other 47th word.
Yeah.
But I like watching Patrici fight, and the point is him and Roger Huerta fight at Bellator 205, McKee versus Teixeira on September 21st. Bellator's got some strong cards coming up, including that epic card when they're going to have Roy McDonald and Gegard Mousasi mix it up for the middleweight title. So that'll be cool. Maybe we might have a champ there. And then we also get to see some subsequent cards in early October where they settle that Bellator Grand Prix, heavyweight Grand Prix that started earlier this year. All right, Orsett, tell us about some of the FFC history, some of the fighters that have fought for you that are still chugging along and doing great in other organizations or even still fighting for yourself. You mentioned a Roberto Soldrich earlier.
Yeah, I think... you know, this guy, he just started with his career. He's just like, I think, around 23. But he did so many things. He's complete athlete. He's like, besides a FFC belt, he had like, in one moment, he had five belts. I think he just lost the belt from KSW. But now he's fighting, I think next month, he's fighting again for the title. So I hope so that he will take back that belt. But also he's in professional boxing, his score is like 6-0 or 7-0. So he is like, I think, one of the best upcoming guys in the world at the moment. UFC is already interested for him.
Oh, yeah?
For last few months. You know, I'm looking forward to bring him also here to Vegas. To defend, he should defend at least one or two times his title here. But there's also other guys. At the moment, I think like three or four our champions are fighting at the UFC also. Mm-hmm. Like Darko Stošić, the very powerful young guy. In FFC, he was heavyweight, so now he's a light heavyweight, and it was interesting that. He fought against Jeremy Kimball, and both of them, they were FFC champions. So Darko was a heavyweight and Jeremy was a light heavyweight FFC champion. So they fought each other and Darko won. And also there is an amazing guy who fought on FFC. You will hear lots of things about him in the future for sure. His name is Aleksandar Rakic.
Yeah,
amazing.
I've heard of him already.
Amazing guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Amazing.
Real
guy.
Athletic.
Yeah, athletic, and yes, some also the guy who is now part of Crow Cop team, Ante Delia. He just signed for Rizin. He scored one win in Rizin. He's also FFC fighter from very very beginning. So. I'm looking forward also to bring him here in Vegas. We just agreed that he will fight before the end of the day. Before the end of the year, he will fight also in Vegas on FFC.
Very cool.
Yeah, a couple of really top upcoming guys.
When will we know the rest of the card? Next week for the September 28th
actually
show?
Actually, we had some problems with the card. So finally we have approval from commission. And Monday morning, we will publish the rest of the card, yeah.
All right, but your main card or main event is set with Satoshi Ishii
and Chris Burnett. I'm really looking forward for that.
And that will be for an FFC heavyweight title?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
All right. September 28th on CBS Sports Network. All right, let's take this last call here to end the week. It's Dan from Oregon. I was on his show, Goz.
Yeah, I heard.
Yesterday. What's up, Dan? How you doing?
What up? Man, Goz with line of the day right there. What did you say? I never thought of it that way.
What's he talking about?
The Bellator interview.
I want to talk about USC Moscow real quick. If we have enough time, George, I would love for you to let me know how Alves is going to beat Konchenko. But two questions for everybody. Over under 15,000 plus are in attendance, and over under 7 Russians end up walking away with the victory. What do you guys think? Back to you guys now.
All right, thank you.
That's tough.
I'll go.
Go for it.
Over and over.
Over 15,000 in Russia and over 7 Russians win?
Yep.
I will go...
It's including Dagestanis, by the way.
Okay. I'll go over on the first one, more than 15,000 in Moscow, Russia. Olympic Stadium sounds big, so I imagine it'll be a good showing. It's the first one, and I'll go under.
I'm going to
go... I think the most Russians that will win is 6.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go over, and I was going to go under just to spite you guys, but since you did it already, I'm going to go over.
How about you, Arsa? You think it's going to be successful in Moscow?
Yes. I'm pretty sure that it'll be over.
More than 15,000?
Yeah.
More than 7 Russians going to win?
No, I'm not sure that part.
Okay.
I'll say less and that, but I'm pretty sure that it will be more. Because Russia, they're waiting a long time for a UFC show.
Mm-hmm. To answer the other question, I'm hoping Alves channels his inner self from like 5 years ago when he fought Carlos Condit in Brazil. He's pretty solid, man, over the years. But actually, Dan, I asked Dan what he thought. I wasn't really promoting him. I just said, wow, Thiago Alves, what has this world come to? He was a co-main eventer at UFC 100, and now he's plus 400. How good is Konchenko? I didn't really know much about Konchenko, and Dan broke it down for me. So that's more of it, what it was.
By the way, since I know you'll ask me, George, the one play I like, the one underdog I like, Andre Arlovsky. I played him I put a little bit on him at plus 100, but he's plus 105 on most books, according to the paper you got in front of you there.
Very cool. All right. Thank you. All right, Orset, thank you very much for stopping by and co-hosting today's MMA Junkie Radio Show with us. We really had a good time. We look forward to FFC 31, Night of Champions, two Fridays from now, inside the Fight Dome at the Rio All Suite Casino Hotel.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me here.
I want to thank all of our guests for the week. And that included Kazushi Sakuraba, Josh Barnett, Uriah Faber, Tom Vaughn, Roger Huerta, Orsat Zavko, Patricky Pitbull. We did it. We also had Dean Thomas. We had Valerie Letourneau and her opponent, Elimelee McFarlane. They'll be facing each other in Hawaii. Should be a fun week next week as well as we continue to get closer to UFC 229 and the 7th Junkie Gathering that we put together, which will be during that fight week. If you haven't heard, Ensign Inouye will be joining us and just hanging out with us. He's a junkie for 2 or 3 days. He personally called and said he wanted to be a part of it, so he will be down here with us. All right, for Danny back east and Dan and Orsad and Goz, I'm George. Have a nice weekend. Keep it locked all weekend on MMA Junkie as we cover UFC Moscow and go out there and be a champion.
People, Las Vegas turning day into night, time turning night into daytime.